You're listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there. This is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Chris Gilpin.
And that's it today.
That's it. Let the silence begin.
We're the dynamic duo
that's
today.
Right. Who's driving?
I guess I'm driving because I'm right in the driver's seat.
There you go.
But you've moved up a seat.
I have. I'm no longer in the corner.
Yep.
Chris's, I'm in second chair.
Chris's normal seat is off in the corner.
Yep.
It's barely reachable from, like, with his headphone cord.
That's right.
He has to lean in the whole time.
Yep. I've only broken one pair of headphones so far.
Sweet.
Since we've done the show.
And now he's moved up, and good luck to Marty or Sam getting your chair back. Because nobody puts baby in a corner.
That's right.
Nobody. So.
Oh, boy.
That's all I got.
There you go. So what are we going to talk about today?
Probably comic books.
Comic books, yes.
And then whatever else we need to do to fill an hour.
All right.
So, comic books. How about Free Comic Book Day?
That's where I would start.
Okay.
Yes. The Adventures of Free Comic Book Day.
The Adventures of Free Comic Book Day. Yeah. You had some adventures?
A little bit.
Yeah. I had some adventures. Nothing major, though.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you go first.
Okay, I'll go first. So, all right. I went to Oshawa.
Right.
Went to Worlds Collide. I was planning to go to CBA after, but I went to Worlds Collide first, and they had a couple of guys dressed up like Star Wars characters out in front, which I took my kids, Cooper and Amelia, and they thought it was great. When they first saw those Star Wars guys, they're like, these guys are great. But then when we left the store, Cooper's like, can we cross the road? And I'm like, no, we're already by them. And then Worlds Collide is actually really close to Comic Alley Toys.
Yes.
And so I was like, hey, let's go get some toys. So we went to Comic Alley Toys. And while we were in Comic Alley Toys, Cooper refused to pick a toy. He kept saying like, oh, I want this. Oh, I want that. And I was like, you got to pick one. And then eventually he's like, I just don't want to go past those Star Wars guys again. And I was like, okay, you pick a toy and we will cross the street or take another street. You don't have to see those guys again. And he's like, okay, I'll take this one. Like he was just stalling because he didn't want to see those Star Wars guys. It was a Stormtrooper, Darth Vader, and then some weird alien guy.
Oh, okay.
And the alien guy was pretty creepy.
Oh, okay.
So,
from Star Wars, you recognize him? Or,
yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, he was from Star Wars.
Darth Vader is always kind of scary
and,
as well.
And Darth Vader made the noises too, which kind of, you know, Cooper was like, because he's still young.
Yeah.
So that was fun. We went into Worlds Collide and we each got 3 books for free. So I picked up Captain Canuck, Ninja Turtles, and the Exo Man of War for my brother. I used one of my free comics for my brother.
Oh, that's nice.
I know. And I was like, said to the kids, I'm like, so what do you want to pick? Like, you guys can get 3 free comics. What would you like to pick? And Cooper picked SpongeBob. He saw SpongeBob and he's like, I want SpongeBob.
Yeah, of course.
So he went SpongeBob and Ninja Turtles.
Yep.
And then he also decided to go with Captain Canuck.
Oh, nice.
And then Amelia was like, she saw I kind of like pushed her towards the DC Superheroes Girl comic because, you know, I thought that would be a good one for her. So she took that, and then she also took Ninja Turtles and Captain Canuck. So apparently we like Ninja Turtles and Captain Canuck at my house.
Right.
But I was walking around proud, going, hey, hey you, you don't know me, but my kids took Captain Canuck. I'm cool. So that was most of my adventure until after we did that, we were like, you know what? I'm hungry. Let's go to the mall. We went to the mall. And then I ran into Sam in the men's washroom of all the places to run into Sam. Yep, because we have this weird habit of him yelling my name at my back as I walk away from somewhere where I don't know he is. Because it's happened twice now in comic book related stuff. So I was in the bathroom with Cooper. We were washing our hands and he comes out and he's like, oh, Dan. I'm like, oh, who's there? Oh, hey, Sam. Let's go talk outside of the bathroom.
Yes, please.
So that was my adventure. Not too adventurous, but it was fun.
So Worlds Collide, were they busy?
They were pretty busy. Yeah. Not like super insane, but they were like, you know, I had to wait in line to shuffle through and pick my comic books.
Yeah.
It was pretty, like, it was kind of, I wouldn't say super difficult to shop or anything, but like there was enough bodies in there that you were like constantly being like, excuse me, can I look at this? And yeah. You know, yeah. So,
yeah. Now, Comic Alley Toys, they don't do new comics. So I wouldn't think they would get the official free comics, right?
That is true. They don't do new comics, but they did have a ton of old comics that they were giving away for free. Perfect. So they had like maybe 20 to 25 issues of, like, you know, a random Superman title during the Death of Superman saga they probably have a long box of.
Oh,
and
yeah.
there was a, you know, so you can, they're like, you can take three of those for free. And I'm like, I don't want them. But
I already have them.
but they had that and they were busy. Yeah. Busiest that I've seen them. They had lots of people picking through the free comic books, lots of people shopping.
Do they actually have stuff not on top of the comics?
Yes, this yeah. time they did.
You know what I'm referencing?
Yes, they like to use their comic long boxes as tables to sort toys.
And we can't get to the comics.
And it's always right above the one that you want to look under. So, that they were actually fairly accessible this time, which was nice.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So that is my adventure. Right. You now have 51 minutes to tell yours.
All right. So I'll go slow. We were due to go to Kitchener on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, you know, the stores, I don't think Grey Guardian opens till noon or 10. Maybe they opened at 10. Maybe it's 10. Anyways.
Yeah.
I'd want to be on the road by then. So I talked to my nephew, Jonah Armitage. Shout out, because he's been listening to our show. I figured, okay, well, let's get up early, like super early, beat the traffic. Pick up Jonah, and we'll go to do some free comic book stuff. So that worked out pretty well. We got there about like 9:30 maybe.
Yeah.
And I knew the one place I wanted to go, right down Kitchener. It's called Looking for Heroes, where I used to go when I worked in Kitchener. It's right behind where I used to work. So, but Jonah gets in the car. He goes, Chris, you know what the bane of my existence is? I go, what's that? Shield number 9. Oh, all right. So he's been listening. So so we went to Looking for Heroes. Now, did Worlds Collide have a limit?
Three,
yeah.
Yeah, they were giving away three.
Yeah. So they were pretty busy.
Yeah.
I thought they opened at 10, but they were obviously open before 10. But they were pretty busy. Just enough room to move around. They had a limit of three. I didn't get Canuck because I thought I was going to get Canuck somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I pass on that. Grab some stuff.
I don't have a spare.
Yeah. Seems like you have three copies.
I wish I could get those from them.
Yes. So what did I grab? I grabbed Star Trek, Wonder Woman, and Secret Empire there. Which, well, I guess we'll get into specifics later. Sure. Jonah's been reading comics, so he picked up some new stuff. He really likes Miles Morales.
Yeah.
So he grabbed the issue of that he was missing. But they, a couple of the places were giving away that Walking Dead, the 25-cent Walking Dead. You see that as well?
I didn't see it. I didn't actually see it, but I heard from one day when I was in CBA picking up my books, they were getting ready for Free Comic Book Day, and one of them was talking to somebody else about all the Image 25-cent issues that they could just, because it was actually cheaper for them to give those away than to give away the free comic books, because the free comics cost more, which is hilarious and terrible.
So he had a commitment in the afternoon, so we couldn't stay too long, but we were there, in and out there. We were way early, so I went on Google and found a store. I kind of knew where it was in Waterloo, so we went there next, and you could not even move. Like, that place is a small store, but it was just packed.
Yeah.
And they were doing 2 free comics, I think. But I didn't grab Captain Canuck there either. So guess which one I never got?
Captain Canuck. Captain Canuck.
But, you know, it was good to see people were actually buying stuff, too.
Yeah.
Going through the other bins. A lot of places had sales on, too, mm-hmm. right? So when I did get back into town, I went to Guardian, Grey Guardian.
Yeah.
And they only had a small stack of stuff. They said they were very, very busy. So.
Well, I know last year, I think, last year or the year before, I was in at Dixon's, and it was just insane.
Yeah.
Like a literal like lineup around the comic book section and to the door.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I did go to CBA one day last week. Wednesday maybe. And they hardly had anything left either. But I did go to GNU first, and they had a table full of book comics, like stacks and table full. Unfortunately, no Captain Canuck.
So,
well, I was more in it for the Die Kitty Die backup story, but
which is pretty good.
Yeah,
it's got some great cameos.
I'll find it somewhere. I haven't read. I haven't heard anything about it.
That's got some great cameos.
Yeah, yeah. So, so I grabbed a few more books there.
Yeah,
because they were just like they had so like this was the first place that I saw so many leftovers. You know, a huge 8x4 table, and there's like 20 comics stacked high.
Yeah, because like when I hit Worlds Collide, it was probably like 10:45, 11 o'clock, and there was already empty spots where some of the books were gone. And I remember, like, I was talking to people, and they were like, "Oh, did you get this one?" And I said, "I didn't even see that one."
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, we were talking online on Facebook about the Captain Canuck because some people were having trouble finding it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so.
Yeah, and I asked, and they're like, no, we're all out. No, every place was out of it.
So how does it, like, do they get to individually order what free comic books they want, or is it like a bundle?
I don't know.
Because
I've heard stores may say something about a bundle, but I don't know if that's something that they've put together. Because there was a lot of books this year.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Tons of books. I was surprised by how many there were. Plus, they threw in that. A lot of places were throwing in that Walking Dead book, too. So
yeah, which I already owned, though.
Yeah, me too.
But you took another one anyways.
Well, it wasn't part of the three. They said, oh, here, take this one, too. Take this. Please take
but
this
But it's
comic.
Not even a great comic.
No.
You'd think they could have.
Not like last week's Walking Dead.
Which I haven't read, but I heard the spoilers.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to miss.
I don't know if we'll get to that yet.
Yeah, but we can wait.
But yeah, that's not even a good issue, and you'd think like, because Image was publishing some issues for their 25th anniversary at a quarter, wouldn't it be a great way to start off like something awesome with like just a killer issue?
Yeah,
but they didn't do that.
No,
that one was kind of boring.
It was like mid-war type thing, and nothing really.
Yeah, yeah. Was like going I read it and went, eh, I'm glad that was a quarter.
Yeah,
I didn't need any more than that.
Yeah,
for a quarter. All right, and that's all we've got.
Yep.
So you haven't read Captain Canuck.
No.
So here's Captain Canuck spoilers, but it's very mild, okay? And in that, I'm not sure if it's a reboot, because they've been throwing the term reboot around.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a reboot specifically. But like the comic book takes place, it's an origin story.
Okay.
For Captain Canuck, because the new series doesn't give him an origin. He just starts like on a mission.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I don't know is that not even in the comic, but in the write-up, in the introduction of the comic, they're like, Lieutenant Tom Evans, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then they say that his suit of armor is a part of him. And I was like, was that the way it was in the regular series, like the Chapter House series before this, or are they just throwing that in there now?
Yeah.
Because I feel like it wasn't ever mentioned before that the suit is a part of him.
Kind of like the new Blue Beetle, where it's like in his body and it just comes out.
Like, would you agree? You've read the new series, right?
Enough to go, huh?
Yeah. Marty, where are you? I was actually going to ask it on Facebook, but I forgot.
In which part of his body does it come out?
Because there's like, you know, some scenes where he's being like shot and the bullets are just like bouncing off of his armor that just appears.
Just appears. Hmm.
So I don't know. Now, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Because, like, in the original series, you know, he was kind of, like, abducted by aliens and given super strength and agility or whatever. So, going into this, I'm not like, oh, he's got to be a man and it's got to be a suit. You know?
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. That's fine.
Yeah.
It just seems like it
unlike
was just me, kind of, like,
be freaking out.
Thrown in there.
Continuity, what are you talking?
Yes. But, yeah, so it takes place in before he becomes Captain Canuck.
Hmm.
When he's still in the military in Afghanistan.
See, now so, I want it even more.
Yeah.
But I'm not paying for it on eBay. No way.
Well, you could pay $100 for one that was signed by the writer. No. What's his name? I always get his name wrong. Jay.
Oh, do you happen to have a copy right there?
Oh, I do actually to have a copy right there. But
thanks, Dan.
This is for me. I didn't know you didn't have a copy.
Yes. No, it's the bane to my existence. No.
the bane of my existence.
Where was he signing those?
In Toronto.
Oh, okay.
Him and Kalman were signing at some
Silver Snail or some weird.
I don't know if it was like Silver Snail or if it was like somewhere else, but they were signing on Free Comic Book Day in Toronto.
And this is I call him a kid, but he's not a kid. But this is like the black kid, like he's kind of got. He's like, the How to Train Your Dragon voice,
yes,
right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Canadian guy. I didn't realize that until I started hearing about $100 copy of him signing it, like.
Yeah.
So it's a free comic. How much did he charge to sign it?
Probably
$100. I don't think so. Anyways, although maybe Martin has four copies already signed.
Well, Marty has at least four copies of the regular version. I don't know about signed, but yeah, it's good. And the art's good. It's got the art is by Marcus Toe.
I'm not familiar with him, but I like the cover, though. The cover's cool.
Does, like, he did Red Robin
with
DC, so it's a much different different style of art.
Yeah.
So,
Now I really want.
Yeah, because, you know, the past, I think pretty much the whole run so far has been done either by, like, Kalman or Leonard Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a cool, different style. And, of course, there is the amazing Die Kitty Die. It's my party and I'll die if I want to, thrown in at the end.
Nice.
Which wasn't as much fun as like I haven't read Hollywood or Bust yet.
Yeah.
But like it wasn't quite as much fun as the first Die Kitty Die, but what do you expect for a free comic book?
Right.
And there's some surprise Chapter House cameos in there too.
Oh, okay.
Which was pretty cool and pretty amazing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm sure there's stacks of them somewhere. Every store I went to was gone. I mean, I think Looking for Heroes had some when I first went in, but I should have grabbed them. But when you only have three to choose from, it's
yes.
Hard.
Well, you should have. I mean, is it hard? Because this was my literal first choice.
Yeah. But I honestly thought I had at least one copy put away from me somewhere. So.
You probably could have got Secret Wars or, Secret Empire somewhere else.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
but I can't go back in time.
You can't go back in time, but you know who can is Steve Rogers. Apparently, do you want to talk about Secret Empire now?
I guess so.
I haven't read anything about it, any of it, but I just go ahead.
Well, I mean, I hate to admit it, but I am picking it up just out of curiosity.
And I actually was going to buy. I had issue zero in my hands at the comic book store the other day. Couple weeks ago or whenever it came out, but then I was like, you know, I got $80 worth of Image books that I'm just gonna buy to try them out because they look cool. I'll just put this one back.
Yeah.
So
the only thing I know I have read, I have to read them again because it's kind of hard just jumping on it. I think I jumped on at Steve Rogers 16 and zero and number one.
Yeah.
So I mean, I have the first issue where you Hail Hydra and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But something about the cosmic cube changing history, making him think different things, and now he's somehow defeated all the good guys, except there's, of course, the, I want to say rebels, but not rebels, the resistance, right?
The alliance.
The underground alliance, which is a lot of the new kids.
Yeah.
Not the new kids on the block, but a lot of the younger versions. And some people, I don't know, it's in continuity, right? So,
yeah.
But reading it, it's almost like some people remember and some don't the way it used to. I don't know. I have to go read it again because it's just, I don't know.
Now, was there like some sort of reveal or something on the final page?
Well, of the Free Comic Book Day, it's almost like a brief overview of the war and where he's like, there's tiny panes, like there's like 30 on a page, and it's him fighting a certain hero and defeating them. And then at the end, he walks over to Thor's hammer and he picks it up.
It's okay. Like,
okay, so this guy who is pretty much a Nazi is worthy to pick up the hammer of
Thor. The hammer of Thor. That's what everybody was really mad about, that part.
Yeah, like I have to go back and read it again. But
did
the
I,
other
did
thing.
Did I mention Boo?
Boo, yet? Yeah. Like, I could see maybe Steve Rogers, the Steve Rogers we know, being somewhat worthy, but now that he's killing people and revealed to be a Hydra, no. I don't know. It's mind-boggling.
And, it is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
I don't even know what else to say.
Well, then he does something in number one that had people shocked as well. Because all this is in continuity, right? This is happening in the Marvel Universe.
Apparently.
For now. But he has Barnes.
Bucky?
No, not Barnes. Hulk's friend. Oh, go on.
Rick Jones? I don't know anything.
Yeah, geez, man, I'll have to.
To the internet, except then who's going
to
talk?
To the internet. It's he was Bucky at one point, I believe. Just pretend like we're talking.
Pretend like we're talking. Because we're not talking.
But I know he's got what's her name? Sharon.
Yeah, Sharon Carter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's there. She knows who he is, what he is. This is part of the group that, to me, that seems like remembers who he used to be.
Yeah, like that he wasn't a bad guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he has her, he's trying to get her to live like a normal life. And, you know, just accept this is the way things are and this is the way it's going to be. But she looks really aged. Some reason in the way they've drawn her.
Could just be artistic, do you think? Or do you think it's like meant to be?
I think it was meant to be. But I don't know enough of the characters. Like obviously Peggy Carter would be like super old.
Yeah, because she was from World War II.
Yeah. So Sharon, I don't know. I don't know. People can correct me if I'm wrong. Because it just seemed like the heroes and, like, the general populace didn't know what was going on. You know, the kids would go to school, and the first thing they would all do is get up and say, "Hail Hydra." And it just seemed like a normal part of their day.
Yeah.
Right? And again, Hydra is hunting down Inhumans. Like, what does that sound like? That's the TV show S.H.I.E.L.D., right? Like, it's almost, the fact that Captain America's not in S.H.I.E.L.D., that's the only thing missing with the last 6 or 7 episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Is that they've been in this fake world where Hydra rules and they're hunting down Inhumans. Like, it's the same as Secret Empire, except it's in a machine.
So you're saying that Nick Spencer just took the script to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, yeah.
And added Captain America. Quick, to Twitter, let's tell him that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean,
I'm sure he won't get angry and respond back.
Yeah.
So,
well, maybe I am wrong. Hey, Bucky Barnes. I guess it was Bucky Barnes. Why was I thinking Rick Jones? I was thinking, yeah.
I don't know why you were thinking that.
I don't know. I thought it was. apparently he remembered everything that was going on, and then Cap's little table full of minions was telling him he should kill him just to prove a point or send a message, and he walked him out. I know I'm totally getting all this wrong. People are going, what the hell are you doing? It's not Bart. Rick. Maybe it was. Okay, so it's either Rick Jones or Bucky Barnes. One of the two gets murdered and killed. Which,
so if it's you in, just yelled out the spoiler that you said spoilers before.
Spoilers! Well, I mean, everyone's talking about it.
I wasn't.
Well, no.
Now I am.
Now you are. This kind of brings me off a little topic, but I mean, it's been, when was Secret, Empire last week or the week before?
Number one?
Yeah. Was it this week?
No, like, well, Zero, because Zero came out like 2 weeks ago, so maybe number one came out this week.
Well, anyways, this comic book forum thing I'm on Facebook, some of these guys like posting spoilers, and it just drives me insane. Because he's that Wednesday morning. It's like I get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning and I look and the guy's going, hey, this just happened in Secret Wars number one. It's like, okay, what part of the world are you in for starters? And why are you telling us this?
Yeah. At 6 o'clock in the morning when there's no comic book stores for you to possibly have read.
Well, it must be, he must be like England, Europe somewhere. I don't know.
Didn't Ricky do some research and find out that he was in Britain?
Yeah, something like that.
So.
Yeah. Rick Jones. Thank you. Sorry. Rick
Jones. Finally, we know.
Rick Jones, who I guess at one point was Bucky. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So.
So Rick Jones gets murdered.
Well, they tie him up and shoot him. What do you call that? Where you tie him up to the walls. Because it's funny. Like, Captain America killed. Well, not really. He did, but he didn't. He just kind of walked him out and all the other guys shot him.
Yeah, so they like executed him.
Execution there, thank you. We're on a roll tonight.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And how's it, I mean, so apparently it's all in continuity.
For now. Until they get the cosmic cube back at the end and put the world back to the way it used to be.
Yeah. Like.
I claim my $5.
Yeah. Yeah, because now we have them. Now we have Marvel saying that Legacy is coming out after. So let's go to Legacy, which they're talking about coming out after Secret Empire, which Marvel says will change the face of the Marvel Universe forever.
Now, like, did they actually say it would change the face of the Marvel Universe forever?
Apparently.
I mean, they said Secret Empire would, but I don't know about Legacy.
Well, that's the article I read, is that Legacy is going to change the face of the Marvel, change the Marvel Universe. Like, everything changes the Marvel Universe forever. I don't get it.
Nothing changes the Marvel Universe forever. Now, if it's going to change the Marvel Universe, it'll just change it back to copying DC Rebirth, as everybody knows, bringing back
the same article of the heroes. Yeah, because Generations/Legacy... is going to have the original heroes fighting alongside the new generation.
Yes.
So somehow Hulk, who is Bruce Banner, who is currently deceased, will be fighting along Amadeus Cho. Somehow Logan, who is currently encased in adamantium, is going to come back and fight along X-23.
And more.
Iron Man, who is currently in a coma, he's going to come back and fight alongside Riri Williams and Ironheart.
Does it, like, okay. So, you know, first of all, Marvel said that the idea of a miniseries is just death to a series. Mm. So this is a maxi series, I guess, right? Like this 12 issues or something.
Yeah.
So it's a year-long event if it's one a month, right?
If it's one a month.
And we don't know if it's going to be a continuing story or just one-shots. I think the articles kind of made it sound like one-shots.
One-shots for each of them.
But it might have a continuing thread through them to tie it into it and make it a secret crossover, a secret blockbuster, you know,
it's got to be connected somehow.
Because they love their events. But I don't think you'll find many people complaining about the idea that those heroes might be back, even fighting alongside the new heroes. But like how...
It's the how that... Right? Like, I don't know. Maybe somebody smashes the Cosmic Cube at the end of Secret Empire and...
They punch the walls of reality.
Yeah.
That's already been done.
And even though it's not a reboot, not a rebirth, it's going to be a rebirth. Because it also included in this is the renumbering.
Yes. Back to the original legacy numbering.
Yeah.
Which is another, you know, good thing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, the article, Marvel Legacy indicates to the publishers listening to its fans. Well, I don't know about that, but we'll see. 10-issue maxi series generations.
It does indicate that they're listening to their fans because the fans are saying that Rebirth is great.
Yeah.
And
do the start all over again.
Yeah. But well, like, you know, it's about time that their gimmicky stuff is you know, ending.
Well, they're going to say they say there's going to be no more events for at least a year and a half, which I mean, Generations and Legacy alone is an event in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I would not be shocked to see a new event this time next year from Marvel. Like they're not I just can't believe it, but we'll see.
You know, it's like with the New 52, at least DC stuck with the New 52 for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like if Marvel, if this doesn't come out of the gate explosively and, you know, stealing back all the market share they were hoping to get, they'll probably just turn it into an event.
Yeah. And then we'll just go back to number ones again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're better at.
Yeah. It's what drove me away, though. All the number ones and changing things and Bendis and a lot of things. But I'm trying to get back into it. But, you know, I'm collecting 3 of the X-Men books that are out now.
Yeah.
So, you know, controversy aside, they've been pretty good. So.
I've actually just started collecting more Image books.
Yeah.
But the problem with Image books is that you can't just pick it up.
Right.
Because it's a continuing story.
Very continuing story.
Like literally meant to be one story over the course of the comic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still sticking with the Descenders and Paper Girls.
Yeah.
Still,
yeah, I picked up Paper Girls, and I've read the first 5 or 6 issues, and I thought that was really good.
Yeah, I mean it's different. That's Image, right? And Image is different.
Yeah.
Right. How do you describe, you know, 4 girls on a paper route that get a, I don't know. Not abducted by aliens, but there are aliens and time machines and fun stuff. And
like, the first 5 issues, like I couldn't put it down.
Yeah.
You know, I bought some of the single issues, but then I was missing a couple and I just picked up the trade because I wanted to read it and I read it and it was great. Just couldn't put it down.
Yeah.
So
it's fun.
Yeah. And it's, you don't have to worry about like, well, is this the real future? Is this the Secret Empire future? Is there a Cosmic Cube coming into play? You can just sit down and read it.
Yeah.
I read God Country #1.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read that one?
No.
That one was pretty good.
Yeah.
I only managed to get like the 4th or 5th printing of it.
I was going to say it's pretty hot right now.
Yeah, it was. I'm not sure why it's so hot, you know, because that writer... Donnie Coates, I believe his name is. He's everything he touches has been gold. So,
yeah.
And also Redneck.
Yeah.
Did you read that one?
I haven't. I haven't read it yet.
Because that one was going for $15 to $20 on eBay already.
Yeah.
So, and I read that one. I picked that one up because I read a couple page preview in the Image Previews book and thought it was pretty good. Thought it looked interesting, and then I heard like there was a bit of buzz about it, so I was like, you know what, I'll pick it up. I read it and I was like, I'll read the next issue. It's good.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like those plus Walking Dead are my Image pickups right now, but I'm definitely open to more.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I'm enjoying them more. Enjoying the non superhero stories right now.
Yeah, I still have a stack of DC stuff I got to read from Rebirth.
Yeah.
Like stuff I haven't touched, Titans, Nightwing, both Green Lantern books. Like,
I started trying to pick up some back issues of the Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah. It's weird because Green Lanterns are my favorite, you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them, but I don't know. I don't know what it is. But
I feel like it, ever since Geoff Johns left Green Lantern, it hasn't been as good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, granted, the guy on it, Robert Venditti, I believe is his name. He's been on it for a long time now. Mm-hmm. It's been years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, 20, 30 issues. But yeah, it just doesn't seem to be as, like, captivating.
Yeah.
But yeah, then if Geoff Johns is on it for 7 or 8 years and does everything you could possibly imagine, what do you do next?
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
That's like trying, when you're on stage after, you know, the greatest band in history, you're going to suck even if you, even if you're amazing. The crowd's going to be like, boo.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's right. Well, I was in that, while I was in at CBA on Wednesday, I was getting my stuff, and I hadn't been there for about a month, so it was a decent-sized stack. And, you know, they put my comics on the table, which is, for those who haven't been there, it's a glass shelf with all the really expensive comics underneath the glass, right? So I pick up my books, and I move them, and boom, there's this giant-sized X-Men, number one.
Yeah.
And it's beat up, and he had it labeled good for a decent price. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, man. So I, you know, it's like, okay, well, what do I do? So I had to make a decision because I only had so much money. So
yeah,
I committed to that book, but I had
the giant size X-Men.
Yeah,
you bought that giant size X-Men.
I couldn't. The price was right.
I'm very jealous because I actually saw that. I saw that there, and I was like, oh, you know, I could kind of afford that.
Yeah,
if I really wanted to.
It's rough, but it's my level of keys, right? Like,
yeah.
Steve, the owner, goes, are you sure you don't want the graded 5.5 up there in the
case? For like $1,500?
I go, well, as long as it's the same price. And he goes, no, it's twice as much. He goes, no, I think I'll stick with one in the cabinet. Anyway, so I had to put half my stack back. So I guess my point is that I'm going through my stack, then the ones I'm taking home with me, I'm going image, okay, put these DC back for now, right? Like, I'm pulling out, I had Paper Girls, Descenders, Walking Dead, Invincible. Those are all the ones I took home because I wanted to read them more than, so yeah. I put back a bunch of DC books, right? So it's just kind of a indication of where things are, what's been good, and which is, it's strange for me because my preferred art style is the solid lines, right? Not the sketchy type artwork, which, I mean, I've gotten used to Walking Dead. It's kind of sketchy, right? Like, I show Christine Walking Dead, and she's like, that's Rick. Because she's just used to the TV show, right?
Yeah.
And I'm showing her, like, I showed her the last week's issue because of things.
Because of something that happened.
Yeah. And then she's going, oh, that's that? And that, you know, because it looks different. Anyways, you know, you look at the senders. Even Paper Girls is kind of not as sketchy as some books, but I must be getting softer in my older age because I like these books now. Like, you know, I'm not as picky, but in the past I would look at an art and go, no, I'm not reading that. I don't like the artwork.
I mean, there is definitely a lot of times where the art can make or break a book. And I do find Walking Dead, you know, like Walking Dead, it can sometimes detract from the story.
Yeah.
But also, I've been reading the early issues of Walking Dead, and I was like, man, like, these issues are just jam-packed. Like, this guy gets killed, this guy gets killed. Like, something huge happens, and then I started actually physically collecting the issues, like, with 136 or 7.
Yeah.
And over the course of that time, you know, now I usually read it in 2 or 3 comic chunks because I'm like, nothing happens in an individual comic anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you need to read 3 comics in order to have something exciting happen.
Yeah.
So I still enjoy it, but it's just not like, and you know, the Alpha War, it was literally the first thing that I read when I came home. I was like, what happens next? You know, I was excited for it.
Yeah.
But it's not like rereading the early issues. I'm just like, man, this has like slowed down so much.
Yeah.
But we'll call that the Green Lantern syndrome because they've already done so much and now they're just kind of padding it out a bit.
Well, that's the thing is that when Negan shows up in the comic book, after that, everything's different.
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole different story. It's a whole different series. Things are just, And I think people realized that when they started watching the TV show, right? Like, not only were they shocked at the finale where Negan and Lucille do their thing.
Yes, last year's.
Last year.
Yeah.
But after that, you know, you've got the kingdom and you've got the tiger. And
yeah.
I think Carol, the way Carol was written last season, I think she was supposed to be representing the general audience watching at home.
Just
right?
being like, what is going on
yeah,
here?
Yeah, because she's sitting there staring at this lion going like, what?
yeah.
Or sorry, tiger.
Tiger.
Tiger. But, I've told Christine, like, this show is now different. It's not going to be the show you remember. And the comic book was like that, too. I think they really put that point home when they did that time jump.
Yeah.
Right? What was it, 2 years or something?
I started after the time jump.
Yeah. But I didn't expect it. I just opened the next comic, right? And it was basically after Negan and, the Saviors and all that. You pick up the next issue and it starts off 2 years later. I'm going like, what? 2 years? Right? And a lot's changed. It's a totally different book.
It's a great way to freshen the comic though.
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't have to tell these stories. You can just mention stories like, oh yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
You know, you don't like, because they, wanted to make it something slightly different.
Yeah.
Since we're on the topic of the TV show, why don't we...
Sure.
Why don't we talk about the TV show? So what did you think about this season as a whole?
I liked it, but I think because I know most of the characters.
Yeah.
I mean, it is different the way, the junkyard people, I don't even know where to start with those guys.
The smellies.
Yeah. Like, one of the things I really like is seeing different people that we have not met in the comic.
Yeah.
So the whole little town full of women by seaside or seashore or whatever. That's awesome. Like, I love seeing, I think that's one of the reasons why I like Fear the Walking Dead, is because we're seeing people in the same universe, but people we don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So I was like, oh, these guys live in a junkyard. Okay. And it's like, then they start talking and hand signals and coming out in unison and forming like a dancing circle without even saying a word. It's like, what is this? It's weird. But besides that, I thought it was a good series. I mean,
yeah.
It's funny reading about the actor that plays Eugene getting death threats.
Like, that's ridiculous.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
If you want to send death threats over a TV show, at least send your death threats to the people writing it.
Exactly.
Not the actor who's just acting it. Like,
that
is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It's ridiculous.
And I mean, it's not like he even did anything that bad.
No.
He didn't
kill anybody.
Yeah, he didn't shoot anybody. He didn't do anything. He didn't even really, like, betray them.
No.
His character is a coward, and he did what a coward would do.
Right.
So what were you expecting?
Yeah.
You know, were you expecting him to, like, kill Negan? No.
Yeah, no.
Like, he literally barely did anything.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. That when I heard about that, I was just like, are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. At least get mad at, like, Robert Kirkman or whoever wrote that individual episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was good. Like, I thought the finale was good.
Yeah.
Another, like, this season was, like, more about, it started so brutally.
Oh, yeah.
Brutally with the Abraham and Glenn being murdered.
Yeah.
Right. And the first few episodes after that were like hard to watch.
Yeah.
Like Rick broken. Right.
Yeah.
Literally broken. But then, by the mid-season finale, it just turned into like Rick is back. He's getting his mojo back. And, you know, the ending of the season was just more of that. Right.
Yeah.
When all of the communities come together to chase Negan off.
Yeah.
Sure, Negan's going to come back with a bigger army, but, they won the day,
which
is pretty good. And it was exciting to see. I didn't get to watch the finale right, like, the day it aired. I think that I watched it 2 or 3 days later, and I was spoiled on two things, one extremely minor, and then one through a meme, and it was a TV station meme, like you're watching like CNN, and it shows Rick's face and it said local man saved by tiger.
Yeah.
And so when I saw that, I was like, okay, so something happens with the tiger.
Sheba.
I don't know what exactly, but and actually I had forgotten about it until the tiger actually like saves Rick at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I, you know, some people were complaining like, oh, they don't like the direction of the show, but I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I thought like it was, there was some cringeworthy moments in it, like every season, but like overall, I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
So,
I did too.
You know?
I mean, you gotta, like, I think one of the storylines from The Walking Dead's called A Bigger World or mm-hmm. something, right? And that's when they start bringing in different people. You have to realize that there are other people alive out there, and some of them are going to do whatever they want to do or do whatever they need to do to survive, right? So, and you can't just have them come in and start fighting. You got to build up characters. You got to see what's going on. So, yeah, it slows things down a bit, but in the end, it pays off.
And even, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of times people will complain about a lack of character development.
Yeah.
But then they'll complain about a lack of action.
Yeah.
You can't have both.
No, you can't.
Like, very few shows can do a perfect balance. Yeah. And, you know, usually it's a trade-off. You have the action for the first two episodes and then character development for three or four episodes and then some action to finish it off.
That's right.
And that's, it's just, it's called a story arc.
Yep. And the more people you bring in, the more it's going to happen. There's nothing there's nothing you can do about it.
Because, I mean, and like watching that guy and that other guy, I can't remember. I'm pulling a Chris here.
Yeah.
Pulling a Chris here.
A big brain fart there.
Watching like the leader of the kingdom, Ezekiel, you know, as he's struggling to decide what's best for his people.
Yeah.
You know, because he's not going to just lead them blindly into a giant fight.
Yeah.
When he knows that the saviors are dangerous.
Yeah.
So, you know, like he's reacting and you know Rick is gung-ho and Rick would kill everybody by accident to try to save the day.
Yeah.
You know, that's his character. Yeah. He wants to save the day.
And that's what the soldier guy was trying to do, was trying to spark Ezekiel on. Right?
By getting Carol killed.
Yeah.
But
that was the first plan.
It didn't turn out the way he expected.
No. No, but it did work, I guess. Differently than he figured, but
who's the guy that killed him? Okay, that's the guy whose name I'm blanking on.
Oh, jeez.
You know?
Yeah, Rick's buddy there from the first season.
That went insane.
Yeah.
Like when he killed him in that episode, I was just like, whoa, like why didn't somebody stop him?
Yeah.
Also, but like, you know? Like why didn't anybody be like, hey, maybe you should tell us first and then we'll decide if you should just keep like bludgeoning him to death on the ground in front of the saviors.
Yeah. Well, the saviors don't care, right? Because he
caused trouble.
They didn't like him
anyway.
Yeah. So they pretty much did him a favor. And the other guys from the kingdom were just shocked.
Yes.
That he was doing it. Morgan. Yeah.
I think, you know, I like Morgan.
Yeah.
And I like his story. Yeah. Like, you know, how he starts off in season one and then comes back in season three,
insane.
I think. Yeah, insane. Yeah. And Rick stumbles upon him and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, in last season, he had not this current like season that just ended, but the season before, he had like a whole episode dedicated to like him, how he overcame his insanity. Yeah.
The guy in the woods in the cottage.
Yeah. Which was a pretty good episode.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like that he's conflicted. I like that he still doesn't want to kill.
Yeah.
Even though it's annoying to me as an audience member.
Yeah.
When I'm like, no, dude, it's the zombie apocalypse and they're killing you. Just fight them back the way they're fighting. But this is what we're talking about. Character development. This is a character who's not just a cookie cutter of every other character in the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's gonna risk his friends' lives for his principles. The same way Rick will risk his friends' lives going crazy after people.
Yeah. Yeah. I cannot figure out, where's Heath?
So Heath disappeared, right?
Yeah,
he's been gone for this whole last half of the season, hasn't he?
He was on the bridge with the girl.
With Tara.
Tara.
Yeah.
And he was surrounded by zombies.
And she thought she saw a zombie Heath, but it turned out not to be him.
And we
haven't seen him since.
There's tire tracks leading away, which we assume is the RV that they were in. And that's it. That is really weird.
Next season, I guess.
I guess.
Or they forgot.
Maybe.
They just straight up forgot.
Well, the reason why that they sent the actress Tara and Heath away
Because she was pregnant.
Yeah. Yes. So I was like, okay, you're going on a road trip.
Yep.
But it turned out to be a big part of the storyline, finding the people that...
Yep.
And those zombies from that ship, that was awesome. Do you remember that? Near at the end when they go to get the guns from the women? And
yeah.
The ship zombies show up.
Which ship zombies? I'm blanking.
Well, when Rick and the guys go to get the guns, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden they're attacked by the zombies.
Yeah.
And they're from that ship. You see a ship just off the coast.
Yeah.
And the zombies are coming out of the ship.
So they're all waterlogged.
They're all waterlogged and seaweed. And they looked, it was awesome. It looked really good. I think they did a good job with that.
So, only a few minutes left. Have you been reading The Button?
Yes.
Now, I've only read, I haven't read the new Flash issue.
Right.
So I'm one issue behind, right? Because that, or was that one delayed?
So Batman 21.
Yep.
And then Flash 21. And then Batman 22. Right.
And
so
then
the last Flash, it was supposed to be out last week, but it's
was
out delayed. Next.
Okay, sweet. Yep. So we're all on the same page then, because I thought
so
it
was. So you've
read
the three issues.
I've read the three.
Okay, yes.
So what do you think of that?
I like it so far. Yeah. I mean, I was surprised to see the Flashpoint universe was still there.
Yeah.
And not only still there, but Flash is going like, this is the real universe, and it was a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
But then it got blown up, or at least the Batcave did.
Destroyed, yeah.
So, it's...
But, because, basically, I mean, we don't know what's actually happening, but from what has been hypothesized from the very beginning that Dr. Manhattan somehow involved,
I just feel like
Dr. Manhattan has probably been holding that universe for whatever purpose.
Flashpoint, yeah.
Yeah, and then now that it's no longer serving its purpose, he's just let go of it, and it's disintegrating and being swallowed up just like into the antimatter universe or whatever, like the anti-monitor did way back in Crisis, right?
Yeah.
You saw the similarities there.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a pretty good issue. Okay, one of the things, I might get some flack for this, but one of the things that I hated about Flashpoint, the miniseries, was Batman and Batman sending a note across the universes from Thomas Wayne to Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
I felt like that was such a cop-out.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't like it. Now, I know other people who are like, that's just such a great, amazing, touching thing.
Yeah.
But, when I read it, I was just like, no, it doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah. And then for them to see each other again, which for Thomas Wayne was 5 minutes later almost. Well, not 5 minutes, but
I think it said
a few
six,
hours or something.
I thought it said it was 6 months.
Was it that long?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess because Aquaman and Wonder Woman had to fight and
find peace and then decide to come after the Batman.
Yeah. But still.
But
it's not that long when all of a sudden your son shows up who is dressed like you, Batman, who's been dead for years.
And I mean, they talk about the letter, and since I can't change that the letter exists, I'm okay with it existing.
Yeah.
And they talk about the letter, and they yell some stuff at each other as they're being torn apart by the universes.
Yeah.
And it was okay. I can feel for Thomas Wayne. And, the one thing that Batman says, our Batman, he's like, I want to tell you one thing. You have a grandson.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought, I was like, that probably would make Thomas Wayne feel great.
Yeah.
But then I also like what Thomas says back, which is, then stop being Batman and take care of your family.
Yeah.
You know?
Where's that going to go?
Yeah.
That was surprising to me. It's like, okay, something's going to come out of that.
Because I definitely didn't expect that.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. Because if you think about it, he's right. And so basically his dad is telling him, stop doing what you're doing. We don't want you to avenge us anymore.
Yeah.
Take care of your family.
Yeah.
So
where's that going to go?
Yeah. Who knows? I doubt we'll find out in Flash 22 because that will just be more of this current storyline. But
there's gotta be something that happens in Flash 22.
Well,
something big.
Probably they'll keep running through the Speed Force and then stop and realize that they're standing outside of the universe on Dr. Manhattan's hand or something. And he's like, I've been waiting for you. Mm. And it'll be like, to be continued in an epic 12-part crossover series.
Right. Hopefully he's wearing pants.
Months.
As long as he's wearing pants, I guess.
I don't know. He hasn't worn pants yet. Why would he start now?
Well, he had that little black bikini thing on. I don't know. But it was interesting that in Batman 21, where Thrawn, is that like Thrawn?
I have no idea.
He disappears.
Reverse Flash.
Reverse Flash picks up the button, disappears, reappears immediately, and he's like a fried skeleton and falls down. So in this last issue of Batman, Flash, Batman jump back into the Speed Force, and guess who's running behind them and passes them? It's Reverse Flash, holding the button. So they've gone back in time before he gets fried. So obviously we're going to see what happens to him.
Yes, they're all headed to the same place now.
Yeah.
So,
but we've still got the character in Superman and Batman with the green cloak and the staff, who he's called Dr. Oz or something like that, which we're assuming is Ozymandias. So, I don't know. Will we see some...
I'm excited to pick up Flash 22 next week.
Yep.
See how this ends. I haven't picked up either of these books except for this series because I've been lax on my comic book buying in general.
Yeah.
Just buying sort of, like I said, the Image stuff and Captain Canuck in every Chapter House release. So, you know.
And so this weekend, what are we all doing this weekend? Although I'll be at different days.
TCAF, the Toronto Comic Arts Festival, taking place at the Toronto Public Library this weekend.
Yep.
So, yeah, should be fine. We don't have enough time to talk about it. I'm sure we'll have some stories next week.
Yeah. But if you're in Toronto tomorrow or Sunday, check it out.
Yeah. The Public Library. Also in the final seconds here, just maybe do a shout out to some Kickstarters that have done their thing while we were off. The Big Nick Kickstarter was successfully funded for issue number 2.
Yep.
Should be coming out soon. And Roar Man number 1 got its funding in the final hours, which was exciting. So that one should be heading out in a couple of weeks or so. Also, there's another one. This guy, I know Keith Gratchow, is doing this Polybus Dreams one. Which is a cool one about a killer arcade game.
Oh, I've heard about that.
It's ending soon. I pledged yesterday, and my wife met him at one of the local conventions and thought he was really great. And I'm like, you know what? This looks good. I'm going to support it. So that one's already been funded, but it's still going if you want to take a look.
Yeah. And if we have a few seconds.
We've got a few.
Keep tuned or check out our Facebook page, because apparently we have some tickets for the Quinty Toy Con to give away. So
okay,
we'll be doing that as well.
That's news to me.
Yep.
But that's all the time we have. We've successfully navigated an hour of comic book stuff.
Yep.
So next week it's Marty and Sam's turn.
There you go.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?